Praise the Lord for the technology that the in the morning meetings, the saints in Europe can join us. And the afternoon, evening meetings, the saints from the Far East can join us. It's been very wonderful that the Lord has been speaking to us from his holy sanctuary. This morning, we want to go on and cover regarding the lampstand, the golden lampstand. Maybe Freddie, you can help us show the first slide. As we see up until now, we are now inside the holy place. And in the holy place is a very simple arrangement that God has appointed. You see the showbread table with the showbread on one side, and then there is the golden lampstand on the other side, and then in the middle is the incense altar. Everything in this holy place, as we have seen, including the boards, are all golden. And this is really the God's wonderful divine nature. And it's not only Christ, but also we pray that this would be Christ's experience by all of us. And this holy place is really a picture of our soul. And the Lord desired to transform us into his image. This morning, we want to share regarding the lampstand. So we can go on to the next slide. All right. While we're waiting, I'll just continue. Amen. Very good. Thank you. Amen. This is a wonderful picture. This picture speaks 1,000 words. And it's good for us to take time to behold this wonderful golden lampstand. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." And verse 3 says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." As I was sharing the opening word of this conference, everything that is needed in the whole Bible is already there in the books of Moses. Light is the source of life for everything in the universe. We all know the solar system revolves around the sun. But what holds the whole universe together is the sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N, the sun, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1, verse 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And it's before all things, and in him all things consists." This is the picture of our wonderful Christ who is upholding this whole universe. Yeah. Light gives life. All the students of science knows this term, photosynthesis. It's the basic principle of biology. In Chinese, it's 光合作用. I looked it up. Actually, it should be called photogenesis is more scriptural. And in Exodus chapter 25, verse 31, regarding this golden lampstand, God told Moses, "You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammer work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, the flowers shall be of one piece." Imagine if you look at this lampstand, this is all from one piece of pure gold that's hammered out. And this lampstand is shaped like a tree with the shaft at the center. And you see six branches on either side, adorned with bowls made like almonds with knobs and blossoms. And this is the full power of the resurrection life of Christ. We shared this last Lord's Day in the meeting here at Fountain Valley. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, again, you have the picture of the lampstand. And there he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And there are two olive trees by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." Praise the Lord for the wonderful picture. Freshly pressed olive oil is flowing through the pipes, and which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The light can only come not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So today, as we see this picture of the lampstand, if there's no oil, there is no light. If there is more oil, then there is more light. And if there's fresh oil, there's fresh light. And it's the job of the priest to take care of the showbread and to also tend to this golden lampstand. We pray this morning the Lord will give us fresh food and fresh light. The lampstand is really a picture of the light of life. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is speaking about Christ. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So our Christ is the reality of this lampstand. Isaiah 9:2 tells us, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." The fulfillment came in the gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. There again, quoting Isaiah, says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light has dawned." Just as with light, there is life, with darkness comes death. And what is happening in our society today is utter darkness. They are not just sitting in darkness. They're walking in darkness, protesting in darkness, looting in darkness, even running the government in darkness. Even the judges are blind It's the blind leading the blind into a bottomless pit. The word tells us that we all once lived in darkness. Darkness means we have no idea where we've come from, and we have no idea where we are, and we have no idea where we're going. Like babies, we are all born in the darkness of our mother's wombs. Yes, in case you don't know, babies are not born with 20/20 eyesight. And they don't have the ability to tell color. Infants need proper lighting for the normal development of their retina. Babies who are born premature can suffer a disease called retinopathy of prematurity, or abbreviated ROP, which is a leading cause of blindness among infants. Light and life always go together. Psalm 51 verse 5 tells us, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." According to God's word, we are all born blind with ROP. The worst thing is, until the day we got saved, we didn't even know we were blind. You know the hymn, "Amazing Grace"? "Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." It's good for us to know where we've come from. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Oh Lord. But sometimes, even as Christians, if we do not grow and mature in life, we develop spiritual myopia. And this is why many Christians follow their pastors blindly. It's blind leading the blind. Why do people donate their life savings to a building they will never own? And you can only visit once or twice a week. And once the pandemic hits, too bad, can't even go there. Why do we follow people who will only tell us what we want to hear? It's darkness. It was interesting to see this past so-called Easter Sunday, an empty Vatican with Pope speaking to an empty audience. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 says, "For he who lacks these things and is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins." From his old sins. This is why the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heavens, the first item, is blessed are the poor in spirit. Because blessed are those who know they're blind. It's a mercy of the Lord to know our true condition. And if you are poor in spirit, yours is the Kingdom of Heaven. Our brothers have shared this in Revelation 3, verse 17, concerning the church in Laodicea. "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Look at how much gold is on this lampstand. And how much gold do we have? The Lord is counseling us to buy from him gold, and not just any gold, but gold that is refined in the fire. Pure gold, no mixture, no blemish, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. By the Lord's mercy today, we also know where we're going. We have a bright future, and we have a glorious destiny. Romans 8, verse 29 tells us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's us. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The Lord wants to bring us all into glory. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful destination. And even better, in Revelation 1, verse 5 tells us, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, you all know this verse, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our destiny is to be kings and priests. It's such a wonderful destiny that the Lord has planned for us. So now that we know where we've come from and where we're going, we need to ask the most important question, which is, Lord, show us today how to get there. And this is the job of the lampstand. The lampstand is to show us how to walk in the light. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For us to see the light, to come out of darkness, the Lord needs to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know. Oh, it's so important. It's so good today to know. To know what is the hope of his calling. To know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's you and me. We are the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Brothers and sisters, are we believers? Do we believe in these verses? We need to apply them in our daily life according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Yes, it's wonderful. Christ was raised from the dead. But what about us? We should not remain in death. We should rise with him and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Where are you sitting today? Are you just sitting in a meeting hall or sitting in the Zoom, sitting on your dining room living room. No, we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. This has to be our experience and our reality. May the Lord help us to experience these verses in reality. Yeah. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Again, that's us. We are his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. May the Lord be merciful to us to see the importance of being able to see things according to God's point of view. And for this, we need this lampstand. The seeing must be by the living faith. Our inner man must be strengthened. And may the Lord grant us spiritual wisdom and understanding, not human wisdom and understanding. We're not just here to study the Bible, to know this lampstand and all its features. We need to ask the Lord to really open the eyes of our understanding. Our eyesight this year needs to be 20/20. As the American idiom says, seeing is believing. So by faith, Enoch saw. By faith, Abraham saw. By faith, Moses saw. Peter saw. John saw. Paul saw. And I'm asking the Lord today, why not us? The lampstand is the light of life. Light is for seeing. It's good for us to see. But it's not good enough just to see. Life is for walking. Light of life means when we see the light, there's also the life that will enable us to live and to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Church in Fountain Valley, we went through the epistles of 1 John. It's wonderful. The Lord has been speaking to us. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is very simple and direct and to the point. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Now, you think when John wrote this epistle, he didn't have this tabernacle, this picture in view when he wrote this. Everything that is in this tabernacle is written in the epistle of John. John must have seen this, and he not only saw it, he was walking in the light. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The light and walking always go together. The Lord is just not going to show us something just for the sake of showing it. He wants us to get there. And we thank the Lord these past few years. He has given us so much light from his word regarding the true worship, regarding the spiritual offerings, the keeping of the feasts, the holy priesthood, holiness, sanctification, and now all the details of this holy tabernacle. It's not just knowing for the sake of knowing, but it's for walking, for living, for practicing, for applying all these spiritual principles in our daily life personally and for the church life corporately. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord desires us first to have our face unveiled, right? Then he wants us to behold him. Yes, take time to behold him. By looking at this tabernacle with all its details, materials that we have seen, we will see the glory of the Lord. Look at this picture. Don't you see the glory of the Lord? This will change us, will transform us. It changed Moses. It changed Paul, Peter, John, and may the Lord also transform us. Our soul needs to be transformed. Our mind needs to be renewed. We need to love his commandments, love his dwelling place. The Lord must sanctify us all completely. May our spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at his coming. After the year-end conference here in Fountain Valley back in December, after we said goodbye to all the guests, there were a few of us were rearranging the chairs at the meeting hall back to our regular meeting style. I was standing next to Brother John and noticed that something was on his mind. I mentioned to him that I heard some rumblings going on in southern China. He immediately said, yes. As far back as last December, we knew that the Chinese government was hiding something important. A few days later, we were in the prayer meeting, Fountain Valley. Some of the guests were still with us. And we pray strongly, Lord, may there be much shaking in the year 2020. Little do we know how much shaking God will be doing in 2020. This pandemic went from China, to Far East, Korea, South Korea, Japan, onto Italy, Spain, all over Europe, onto the Middle East, and then here in the U.S. Here on July 4, 2020, we're still in the midst of this shaking. And as we are here today, the rest of the world is shaking with this virus. It's going on everywhere in Russia, Middle East, Africa, Latin America, South America. And it's not just a pandemic health crisis shaking, excuse me. It is also an economic earthquake, as well as a geopolitical power struggle. And in the midst of all the shaking that's going on, the Lord wants to accomplish his purpose to close this age. And we hope that we're all putting our hope on the white horse. You know, the verse in Ephesians 3:20 that says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Lord made a believer out of me of this verse and what he's been doing here in year 2020. And the Lord is using this pandemic to expose the hidden darkness of Chinese government to the rest of the world and lawlessness, unrighteousness. Today are spilling onto the streets here in many cities across the U.S. Democracy is coming to an end. Both the leaders in China and Russia have brought back the old regime of the dynasty, the Xi dynasty, the Putin dynasty. And while the Democrats in the U.S. and Europe, we like to create a one world order. Fortunately, the Lord still has a very important leader in this free world, in the President of the United States, on his shoulders to restrain all the evil from going around. the world we live in is getting increasingly darker by the months and weeks. And we all have this sense that the light is getting dimmer and is about to go out. And if ever we need a lampstand, it is now. The churches should be the reality of this golden lampstand today. And step by step, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, do not keep us in the dark regarding the world events and what is about to take place. Please show us more things, greater things, higher things, things that are needed for our preparation and for the accomplishment of the Lord's divine purpose. And we pray for the peace treaty in Israel to be signed this year. And we pray for the prophecy in Daniel 9:27 to be fulfilled. And as difficult as the odds may be, we pray that the president will be reelected for the second term, and that the saints in all the churches could be perfected as his holy and royal priesthood, that we all will mature in life and be ripened and to be taken as the first fruits to stand with him on Mount Zion when he returns. Praise the Lord. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a dream. This is the fulfillment of what is written in God's word. And the Lord is now bringing us to this final stages. When God starts in Genesis, and I will end with this, always concludes in Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, says, "For I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun, of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." Praise the Lord. "As the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it." This is God's wonderful divine plan. And this is what I saw from this picture of the golden lampstand. May the Lord show us more things, things that are necessary for the accomplishment of his divine purpose. And may the Lord help all the churches to be the golden lampstands today. Amen.
And there's a very important furniture right there in the holy place. Nothing is worse than being in darkness. 1 John. We all know that the Apostle John is very burdened with a matter of life. Right. In fact, his gospel is so much on a matter of eternal life and what this wonderful life is. And it was in John chapter 8, the Lord says, "I am the light of the world." Right. "And he who follow him, he who follows him will not be walking in darkness."
Amen.
And then in his epistle, which shows us how to know that we are in this wonderful life. What is this life? The first thing he mentioned was God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light is very important. Nobody, if the light went out, there was a blackout. You have a terrible time doing anything in your home. Then you'll have to find light. Light is very important. Many times in our daily walk, we need to firstly look to ourselves. How do we walk? as Christians, not just that the world is in darkness. No doubt the world is in the spiritual darkness. But what about us Christians? Right. When John said, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. But if we check with our daily life, with our living, whatever we do at work, at home, in the family, or if you're alone by yourself, how much darkness is still in us, ruling in us. Our brother mentioned about Genesis chapter 1, the first thing that God created is light, because darkness represents evil, the power of darkness, right? The authority of Satan, it's darkness. And God is the exact opposite. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So when light was created, then God separated light from darkness. And he called the light the day, and the darkness he called night. So today, you know, we all know, right? Sunrise and sunset, and the night appeared. And we all go to sleep. Right? Only those bad guys have terrible activities. They don't want people to see, so they practice whatever they're doing at night. Right? But First John says, if we say we have fellowship with him, that means this person is saved, right? Now, nobody who is not saved will say that he had fellowship with God. So only we Christians, at least the believers, we say we have fellowship with God, but then we walk in darkness. That means there is still night within us. Darkness is in us. Although we have received this life, right? But there is still a part within us that is in darkness. So if we say we have fellowship with God, with him, and we walk in darkness, you know, I think many of us will confess to God we have a lot of things to hide, right? Yeah. Who can say we have nothing to hide? I don't like to ask this question, right? Raise your hands. No, don't raise your hand. But you with yourself, and I have to check with myself. If I have things to hide in my heart, that I didn't want anybody else to know. But, you know, God knows all things. You can never hide anything from God. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. It's hidden from many people's eyes. Even sometimes it's hidden from ourselves. We don't even know that it's there. It's darkness. And all the critters and all the bugs and the spiders and everything, they like to hide in darkness. In darkness. Then when the light shines and all of a sudden a lot of things are running in all directions. Right? If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. And all the lies are a sign of darkness. And we, the believers, should be the light of the world. The Lord says, you are the light of the world. Yes, we are. But to what extent? It depends on if you buy a bulb. Well, you have to take a look how many watt, right? If you want your house to shine brightly, well, you put 100 watt. Right. But if you are in a strange place where people are doing certain things they don't want people to see, the darker the light is, the better it is. If the light shines into us, then we need this shining of the light to expose what is in our heart. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, shine your light in me. Yes, the world needs the light, but much more we, the Christians, need the light, because we have to be this light shining out wherever we are. At home, the parents should be light to their children. You should.
Amen.
This wonderful light, Christ as light, shine out of us.
Yeah.
Even to yourself and to myself. I need this light.
Yes.
Otherwise, when the Lord appears, we're all going to be in shame and put to shame.
Mm.
There's a song that says, things of which we are ashamed. Well, anything we do in the dark that we wanted to hide, why do you hide it? Because you're ashamed that it'll be exposed and known. And why will we do things that we will be ashamed? Well, others may not know, but you and I, whatever we do, right? Let me not be ashamed. Right?
Amen.
That song. How many things still in us that we feel shameful?
Hmm.
Maybe other people didn't know, but what about the living God? The God who searches the inward parts, right? And he sees everything. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, nothing is hidden from his eyes. Where can you hide? Where can you hide? You go to Hades, he's there. You go to the North Pole, he's there. You bury yourself in the deepest part of the sea, he is there. I don't know where to hide. Where are we going to hide?
No place to hide.
No place to hide. And then if we say we are in the spirit, you know, I heard that so many times for so many years, and the emphasis is there, the spirit is the key, right? The spirit. You know what Proverbs says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord to shine into the world. What did it say? To search all the inward parts. Our inward parts. So if I say that, oh, I'm walking by the Spirit, but my inward part is so full of dirt and darkness and hidden things that of which I'm ashamed of, right? One day, if those things are not dealt with and are not cleansed out by the light, oh, you cannot clean without the light, okay? Right? If it's dark, well, if you're a lazy man and you're not very clean, then you clean at night and with lights turned off, everything looks okay. Everything will look okay if you are in darkness, or if the light is just maybe 10 watt, right? Nobody will see you. You don't see anything. But if we are in light, we begin to realize, that is not right. The dirt is there. Right? And if you're vacuuming the floor, right, anything that is covered under the carpet, you don't see. So you have to open up the carpet. And then you will see, oh my goodness, there's so many things there, right? An experienced person who vacuums all the time will always turn on the carpet and then vacuum underneath, because there's a lot of dirt hidden there that you don't see. If you don't see, it doesn't mean that it's not there. Many times we do not notice what is hidden in our heart. Right. What a man is thinking. Right. How are you feeling in your heart? Many times I may disagree with a brother and didn't say anything, but I know it's there in my heart. Yeah. To learn not to criticize is good. It does not mean that you just zip up your lips, but you criticize in your heart. What if the Lord said concerning the higher standard of the law? Oh, I never killed anybody. Well, have you? Did any one of us murder anybody? No, we never killed anybody. But the Lord judges in a different way. If you hate a brother, you already killed him in your heart. You said you never committed adultery, but hey, if I have that thought and desire in my heart, the Lord says, you already committed adultery in your heart. You may not have the courage to do it outwardly, but that desire in your heart, right, that is darkness. There's a potential darkness right there. Potential darkness. So we need this light firstly to shine upon us. And the best way to experience this light is firstly in your spirit together with a word. The word is not just as doctrine, but to enter into your heart. This is why, right, the psalmist wrote the entrance of your word. Entered into where? Not just into our understanding, oh, now I know, right? No, the entrance into the deepest part of our being, into our heart, will give light. And this light is the light of life that will operate within us, that will cleanse us, that will heal us. So when you see, you will cry out to the Lord, Lord, heal me. Light is a therapy, right? Like our brother also mentioned concerning the light. Right? Light is healing. Light kills a lot of germs and exposes a lot of bugs. Right? Light is very important for our health. And God is light. So on one hand, the Lord did say, you are the light of the world. But on the other hand, this light, his light has to work within us. And John talks about the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. This fellowship must be in the light. God is light. So if we fellowship with God and we still remain in darkness, we don't see it. Not just the world situation and outwardly, right? But what is within us? What is within us? The fellowship with God will expose and give light to us to shine into our heart. And this is very important. Then the result is we will fellowship with one another. If we are not in the light, there is no real fellowship. Then I don't want to fellowship with you, and you don't want to fellowship with me. We just say hi, hello, Good morning and goodbye. That's it, right? How are you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Auf Wiedersehen. We'll see you. See you next week. There's no real fellowship. There's no real fellowship. And as our brother also shared, we also need to see what God is doing today. We need to see what is the will of the Father. Don't you like to know, as a Christian, have you ever asked, Father, what is your will? Right? Because the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but only those who do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Today, there are so many groups of Christians. Have you ever asked the Father, where is your dwelling place? How do you choose? You choose according to your favorite pastor. Oh, I like that. And I like this place because it tells a lot of jokes, so everybody is laughing. I like to testify to what my older sister told me one time. He went to a denomination, and the pastor says, well, you know, there is no divorce. So, well, too bad if you get married and to a wrong husband or a wrong wife. Well, that's too bad. But I will show you one way to solve your solution. That is to pray. And you know what that pastor says, what to pray? Pray that your partner will die early. Then you're free from the marriage. Oh my God. Can you imagine that a pastor will give such a word and such an advice? Can that be the church? That is the word in darkness. When I heard that, I told my sister, why you still go there?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this and you still go there? If you go to a place like that and you heard a word like that, you should stand up and tell that pastor, stop speaking. And you just walk out. That is not a house of God. Definitely not the house of God. That may be the house of the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a house of darkness, yeah. Not of light. And if those people listening to that pastor saying that and all laugh, they are all in darkness.
Hmm. Oh, Lord.
Not just the one speaking was in darkness. But everybody sitting there was laughing as if it is a good joke. No, it is a sick joke. It is a dark joke. Right. Christians should not be like that.
Oh, Lord.
We are talking now about this wonderful tabernacle of the Lord. Sorry, time is up, right? Now, I hope that every one of us, when we go home, we will ask the Lord, Lord, where is this tabernacle to be found? I want to be there.
Amen.
Don't just listen to this conference, go home, and then go back to Babylon. Eh? No. Then this conference means nothing to you. But if you receive light from the Lord through this wonderful tabernacle, not because of our messages, no, but if you saw the vision of this wonderful tabernacle, then you go home, you have to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be in that place.
Amen.
In your tabernacle.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay. John, let's make a break, right? Take a break.
Yes. Okay. It's 11:04.